This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. This weekend, the Cincinnati Pops is joining forces with Cirque Mechanics to create amazing performances that combine popular classics with spectacular acrobatics. And here to give us an idea of what's in store for music hall audiences and what goes into melding the music and the mechanics into each performance are Sam Strader, Cincinnati Pops Director of Artistic Administration, and Chris Loshawa, who's founder and director of Cirque Mechanics. Good afternoon to both of you. Thanks for being here, Chris and Sam.
Hi there.
Hello.
You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chris, tell us, how did Cirque Mechanics get started?
Well, I started as a circus artist with Cirque du Soleil about close to 20 years ago. I was doing BMX at the time, like what they do on the X Games with the
freestyle bike riding. Kind
of freestyle bike riding.
Okay,
it was kind of acrobatic trick cycling, and I did that act for Cirque for a while, and I built a couple of apparatus that were based on bicycles, and these machines. We got a lot of interest from our friends in the circus community about, that looks really cool. That's really neat device you built there. And, we ended up building our first stage show built around those machines. So the idea is to mix circus and acrobatics and machinery.
So prior to the start of Cirque Mechanics, you were experimenting with the aerial apparatus that would become the focal point for the performance.
Exactly. It was, the idea was to show off this relationship between the work that's being done to create flight for an artist. In some fantasy-based circus, we have an artist flying through the air and we just, it's some kind of dreamy scenario. And in this case, we really wanted to show off the relationship between the apparatus and that artist and how that work is being done, and to show that off in a way that's interesting to see. We have a device that there's a bicycle attached to this thing, and there's a vertical piece of truss, and that there's a person that pedals this bicycle vertically up. And as that bicycle pedals up, there's an aerialist tethered to a cable attached to that on the other end that's lowered to the ground. And so you see this very connected relationship, and you can trace the path of the action, and people are, it's kind of a surprising thing for people to see. It's like opening up the clock and seeing how it works in a way that's it's entertaining.
So is this so much about as much about the mechanics of the whole thing as it is about the circus itself?
It's actually both, and I think that that for us, what's important is to make sure that it's. I mean, it's got to be spectacular. It excites us to show those relationships off, but we have strong choreography. We've got comedy. We've got things that people might expect when they go to see a kind of circus. We're going to expect to see contortion. We might expect to see handstands and flips, and a lot of layers to it that we don't ordinarily expect. And they're not all things that people need to connect with. I mean, it's the kind of thing where if you're interested in choreography and dance and the music, then it's there. If you like that layer of seeing, you've got a kind of mechanical mind or an engineering mind, then that's there. If you like seeing traditional circus, that's there as well. So it's really the blend of these things that makes it something that's new and different.
Sam, this is the first time the Pops has been involved with Cirque Mechanics, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the first time we've worked with Cirque Mechanics. We have done other Cirque performances before with other performers, but it's been several years, and this is the first time we've worked with Cirque Mechanics. I really like the idea of the seeing, as Chris said, seeing the kind of the mechanics that go into it, the relationship with the apparatus and the trussing and all that sort of thing. It's really kind of an interesting dynamic that we don't see very often.
Well, you're both painting a very interesting visual picture. So for somebody who's never seen Cirque Mechanics, Chris, how do you describe it to them?
Well, in this case, what we've got is the acrobatics people might expect to see, but we craft these images. I mean, it's really not, I want to make sure that, it is important that these relationships are displayed, but it's got to be lyrical. It's got to be beautiful. It's got to be spectacular. And so we mix these things in a way that there's a wow moment of circus. And then there's also sometimes a second level discovery of, oh, wow, that was cool. And that's how that happened. That person that was running up and down that piece was connected to a cable that lowers to the ground. And so that is all part of what people see when they come to the show.
Is this a reflection of American ingenuity to some extent, Chris?
I think so. I mean, I think that it's for us, it's a stripped down approach, you know? It has to be kind of elegant, but that simplicity can be elegant and it can be spectacular. And so in some ways, because we hearken back to the time before electric motors and winches and hydraulics, and we use people as our machines, that automatically gives us this kind of nostalgic, in some ways, Americana vibe that I think people pick up on. And it also translates and connects with this kind of steampunk vibe, which is this kind of this cultural pop kind of trend of thinking about what would have happened had we gone a different era in the time of the, you know, in the late 1800s and gone in the direction of steam contraptions and man or pedal-powered contraptions. And so it brings that whole world in as well.
Now, where has Cirque Mechanics been performed so far, Chris?
Well, in we were just recently in Kitchener, Ontario, with the Pops there, Fort Wayne, and in Grand Rapids, and we have Cirque Mechanics has a touring theatrical show, which has the central element that we've been talking about. It's this gantry bike. It's a 22-foot tall pedal-driven aerial contraption that actually sits right on the apron between the maestro and the front row of seats. And this 22-foot tall contraption is actually pedaled in circles on the stage. That device is the gantry. It's the center element of the orchestra production. It's also the central element of a touring show that we have called Pedal Punk. And that tour and the other companies that we've produced in terms of theater have performed all over the states in 44 of the states, including Alaska, and also all over Europe and in Asia.
Sam, is John Morris Russell ready for this?
You know, John Morris Russell's pretty much ready for anything. He loves the spectacle. He loves to be in the middle of all that stuff and enjoys having a blast on stage. And this is right up his alley.
We hear he's the right guy for the job. We're excited because we've got a few gags that we have. We've got some moments where the maestro gets to participate in the show in a surprising way. So we're really excited that he sounds like he's going to want to play along. We're really happy about that.
Yeah. The tough part about getting him off of the apparatus, I think he'll climb up there and not want to come down.
Getting him back to the podium. Right.
I can see John doing that.
I hope so.
So there's clowning around that goes on in a Cirque Mechanics too, right?
Chris? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. We've got some nice moments. We've got a couple of really funny moments that work with the conductor and our lead kind of character, who I won't tell you too much about because it's a little bit of a giveaway, but it's about this guy's transformation from one role to another within the show. There's this nice, sweet little story that happens.
Now, what kind of audiences do you typically draw for a Cirque Mechanics performance?
You know, that's something we get asked all the time. It's completely an all ages thing. And I'm reluctant when we talk about this. It's a lot of people that say, oh yeah, it's good for everybody. And then you go and you're like, oh, you know, and I've got three boys from the ages of 11, 17. And all of the shows that we build are appropriate for everybody. And I would say that there's enough comedy and hijinks to keep, you know, the younger audiences happy. And then also there's some really good kind of sweet lyrical moments for people who have seen a lot of dance and a lot of theater. And we really pride ourselves on being able to connect with a really huge kind of segment of the audience, both in age and you know, in interest level.
Chris, these are precision acts that call for solid engineering, precise timing, rigging, and getting the artists prepared for this. How long does it take to get the stage and the rigging ready and tested for safety?
Sure. Well, we're actually you caught me with the time zone change. I'm actually doing a setup for the build of the gantry. I was sitting on top of it when my phone rang, and I mentioned that. I'm 22 feet in the air. I let me get down. I realized what this call is, and I was expecting 1:30, and of course it's that. But not here. So I'm setting up for that rehearsal. We have artists coming in half an hour that we're doing 2 days touch up rehearsal here. And then we'll be in the space on Thursday, and we'll be setting up all day Thursday. The artists will come in, they'll do a 2 to 3 hour rehearsal on site, and basically adjusting to the space. Because the nice thing about what we do, we use the gantry, this bicycle device. That's our central element, and that's our universe. And so we rehearse with that. So it gives the artists a sense of constancy and stability. And then we need to see how that device plays with the architecture of the space. And so that's what we use our time for on site. And so it's about an 8-hour process on site before we even get with the musicians. And then we have a rehearsal with the musicians, and we will be able to go through the piece with them. And then we'll be ready for Friday night's show.
Sam, what about the preparations and the practice that go into the production as far as from the pop standpoint?
Sure. Well, we'll rehearse. We'll do a rehearsal with the orchestra on Wednesday. And then, as Chris said, they'll come in on Thursday, and we'll spend all day Thursday putting together the gantry. We've got an amazing stage crew, as you know, that puts all this stuff together day in and day out. And so this will just be another one of their, kind of crazy days of loading in and setting up. And so they'll spend that whole day putting that all together. And then the troupe will come in and work on the apparatus in the afternoon, evening. And then again, on Friday morning, we put it all together with the orchestra and the acrobats and circus performers. And then the show comes together Friday night, the first show.
Now, what are the challenges you face in putting together something like this?
There's always little hiccups in the road. Of course, a group coming in isn't necessarily going to know what the stage looks like. And so we do a lot of pre-planning, phone calls and things like that between our technical crew and our production department and the team, whatever it is, in this case, the Cirque team, to figure out exactly what the challenges are going to be, from the height restrictions in the hall to the weight, limitations on the stage and where to put the orchestra and so that there's no, acrobats dangling over a $100,000 violin or something like that. So, we do all this, kind of well in advance and talk through things. And by the time it all comes in, we're ready to go.
Yeah, do the music hall engineers have to do any extra bracing or testing of the stage to get ready for something like this?
We ran all the numbers and things like that to make sure it all worked, and that was, and everything was well within, what our tolerances are on stage here. In the past, when we've had Cirque performers where there hasn't been a gantry like this, we've had to rig aerialist rigging and things like that through the building itself, which, when they started doing that, I'm sure took a lot of, kind of pre-planning and figuring out what the right angles were and the right, weight limitations were. With this one, it's an interesting proposition because you've got this apparatus that comes in where all the activity takes place on that structure. So, in a lot of ways, it's a little bit simplified. Of course, the structure itself, poses some new challenges, but, we've worked through all those at this point.
Chris, what about on your side? What are the challenges that you and your performers face in getting ready for this?
Hello?
Chris?
Hello?
Chris,
yeah,
what
sorry,
about
I
on...
lost you for a second.
Okay. Well, what about on your side? What are some of the challenges your performers face preparing for this?
Well, it's really, we've developed this in such a way that we rehearse with the kind of recorded versions of these selections. And so the adjustments really on site have to do with that. Now we've got a live orchestra. Now we have, these things are exciting to go see live and to listen to because they have that kind of ability to kind of be modified or adapted by that conductor, and not greatly, but over a piece, over a selection that's 6 minutes long or so, if the tempo is just slightly quicker, the choreography is off. It needs to be adjusted. And so that's our biggest that's where we spend most of our energy when we get on site. It's really just dealing with those adjustments with the orchestra and getting a feel for how they play the music, because that's what makes it exciting is that it's, that there's a nuance to it, and we have to adjust to that.
Now, where do the performers and the acrobats, where do they come from, Chris?
We have, in this project, we have a girl that's a Mongolian contortionist who's been with us now on a few different productions, and she's fantastic. She does kind of a traditional contortion act. We have a gentleman from Chicago. We've got artists from Los Angeles, San Francisco, Florida, and Las Vegas.
Now, do you have any safety concerns that you address for the performers?
It's built into any of this work, and that's not specific to anything unusual with the orchestra. It's just in general, all of the apparatus has to be checked and tested, and it's important to note that by the time that we get to where we are doing these kinds of shows on this level, it's a building, you know, it's a cumulative building block approach. You know, you start slow and you train with spotters and you train with safety lines. And even today we'll be training, you know, we do some of the moves again with crash mats and things like that. So that way when we get into the space, we're ready to go and we can concentrate on the audience and the music rather than trying to think about and remember, where do I have to go here? Where do I put my hand, you know?
So we're going to have this great event that's going on for the eyes on the stage and with that huge gantry crane and all the acrobats. So, Sam, what's in store for the ears? What about the music that we're going to be hearing at this?
Sure. The music is obviously, you know, a big part of this. It, just as any of the Cirque du Soleil programs, you know, the music plays heavily into the entire experience. So in this case, the program is made up almost entirely of what we like to call popular classics, all those classical music gems that you know, and some of them may be, you know, excerpts or movements from a larger work or, you know, pieces of a suite. But everything from, you know, the Carmen suite to the Nutcracker to Peer Gynt, Samson and Delilah, of course, a Cincinnati favorite, Fanfare for the Common Man. So, you know, Ravel, Mozart, Dvorak, Vivaldi, Grieg, all these great composers from the classical literature. There's also a few pieces by a gentleman named Michael Picton, who is a composer, does a lot of composing for circus programs, and he has he's part of the Cirque Mechanics team as well, and so he's written a few pieces specifically for this program. So it's a nice kind of mixture of classic and contemporary music. But again, it's all great masterpieces that go very well with the choreography and the types of routines that are taking place on stage.
Chris, what kind of reaction do you get to Cirque Mechanics from people in the audience?
It was I got to tell you, you know, I don't come from a background of, you know, I think I went as a child. And when we did our first production, a year and a half or so ago, the energy from the audience was absolutely incredible. I mean, and from the musicians, I got to tell you, we're audience members too in some level, you know, we're performing with them, but many times it's the first time we get to hear that piece played by them. And it's pretty powerful in a way that I really didn't expect. You know, I've worked with live musicians before, but when you have an orchestra made up of anywhere between, you know, 50 and 100 musicians, there's an energy there that is, that we feel, you know, through us. And we're between the audience, I guess, and the orchestra, but, that reaction from the audience to all of that is really spectacular and something I was kind of surprised by. And I've performed in lots of different environments over a 20-year period with circus, and it's a completely unique experience for us.
Sam, do you find that the Cincinnati audience is open to new and unusual shows like this one?
Yeah, we've, you know, of course we, you know, JMR's mantra is if it sounds good, it is good. So, you know, there's, we like to provide a wide variety of programming on any given season. So this is just, you know, one piece of that larger kind of series of spectacles that we like to put on. So yeah, our audiences are always game to see something new and exciting. And of course, this is both new and exciting. So there's a lot of anticipation for this.
Chris, how do you feel personally about this? Do you still get excited after all these years of doing this?
Absolutely, and I'm actually the creative director of the company, and I build these mechanical attractions, and I get to still be on stage. So for me, it's a really exciting thing to be able to be part of.
And Sam, would you give us the dates and the times for when this is going to be occurring?
The concerts are this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 27th, 28th, and 29th of March. Friday and Saturday are both at 8 o'clock, and Sunday is a matinee at 2 o'clock.
And Chris, one last question. Don't give too much away, but is there a particular point that folks should be watching for during this performance?
I think I think they should watch for a particular problem that one of our orchestra members might have with playing a piece of music. I think it's there's an amusing there's an amusing piece that happens about halfway through the first act that I don't want to give away, but it's a lot of fun.
All part of the clowning, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Sam and Chris, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Sam Strader is the Cincinnati Pops Director of Artistic Administration, and Chris Loshua is the founder and director of Cirque Mechanics. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Rick Andres. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.